traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man.
So, welcome to Barnstorming. This is Jordy Comis. I'm the one of the co-producers, and I'm thrilled to have today returning champion Mayor Derek Slaughter, who we did one of our more unusual podcasts in 2019, where he let us canvass with him around Williamsport, which was a lot of fun. And then second time on the podcast, first time as a host, KJ Williams. KJ, I'm going to throw it to you. Say hi. Say a little bit about yourself, and then we'll turn to Mayor Slaughter.
Yeah, of course. Well, like Jordy said, my name is KJ Williams. I am actually recently a resident of Mayor Slaughter's city. So I just moved to Williamsport. So we're gonna jump right into it. There's not much I have to say about myself, so we can get right into it.
Awesome. And then Mayor Slaughter, I'll just say, this is your second time. You were elected in 2019 in municipal elections. It seemed like, from an outsider, but somebody who cares about the region, it was kind of a sea change moment for Williamsport city politics. Do you want to just kind of introduce yourself and kind of like give a nod to the, how you came into office?
Sure. First off, thanks for having me on the podcast again. It's been, as you said, a few years since we were able, to reconnect here on the podcast. That was an enjoyable time. We went around canvassing through Williamsport, and you followed along on the trail. And that's always, knocking doors and all of that is grueling, but it's obviously a vital part of campaigning and winning elected office. So, as you said, that was 2019. Seems like yesterday, but I've just completed my second year in office. I took over January 2020, right before the pandemic and all of that. So it's been obviously a very busy 2 years. We've got a lot of things done. We had talked a little bit before the show. I was the first mayor of color elected here in Williamsport and also the youngest. So, when you talk about change agents, I think organically that's sort of a change agent in and of itself. And if I can, I get asked this question all the time, but if I can motivate, whether it's other people of color or younger people or whatever, we talk about diversity in every sense of the word. If I'm able to inspire, motivate someone to chase after their dreams or become more engaged in politics or in their personal life, or professional life, whatever the case may be, I think that comes with this role. Anytime you're in a leadership role, you take on that responsibility. So it's a very exciting day in and day out that I get to work with kids all the way up through some of our senior citizens and everything in between. So, to try to continue to make positive change and affect positive change in Williamsport, and it sounds a little cliche, that's what I enjoy doing each day here in Williamsport and come to work. And I think, as I said, we made a lot of good progress in these first 2 years. We had a lot of projects done, but we still have a lot of work to do, obviously, related to the finances and everything that's going on with that. projects that are ongoing and some projects that we're going to be starting here over the next year or two. So lots happening. I'm very excited. And, I'm happy to be back on the podcast again.
All right, Mayor Slaughter. That's awesome. So you spoke about, wanting to help people get involved in, local politics. How would you advise somebody that's young, go-getter, that wants to get involved in running for local office?
Sure. I remember having this conversation with you, I think.
KJ, yeah, we did.
But no, what I would say is just get engaged. Talk at the local level. It's obviously a lot easier to connect with your local elected officials, because we're right here. We're in the community. You can reach out to us. You can schedule a meeting. And each community is a little different, obviously. So whether it's you're running for, township supervisor or borough council or here in Williamsport, it's city council, mayor, or at the county level, commissioners. But there's obviously, different requirements for each elected office. Some are the same, some are a little different. From the petition process, the setting up your committee and campaign finance, there's a lot that goes into it. So what I would say is whatever office you're interested in, whether you're interested in actually being the candidate or just helping a campaign, I would say be engaged, but reach out to your local folks and get involved. I was fortunate during both my city council and my mayoral campaigns to get a decent amount of younger folks engaged in the process. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the goal would be to get everyone involved in the process. And I know historically across the country, voter turnout is extremely low, which is an issue. I know we have to get, you know, people need to be engaged in the political process. It matters, you know, that you get out and exercise that right. And know who the candidates are, you know, across the board, you know, on both sides of the ticket or independent or whatever party it might be. Know who's running for office, know what, you know, what they want to get done. And, you know, that's, you know, sometimes a little more difficult at the state and federal level because they may or may not be in your region very often. But when they are, I would say take a look, see what's happening. But as far as the local and county levels, you should be able to get in touch with them, you know, very easily or relatively easily, because we are here, and we're here day in and day out. Just pick their brain, see what's happening, and see what's going on. You know, what's happening locally, you can affect change there. You know, again, relatively, it's more quickly than at the state and federal level. So what we do here locally really matters, obviously, and you can. You know, reach out to us and see. But I would say, you know, get involved, see what's happening. Just talk to all your elected officials, but your local ones, just, you know, get in touch with them and stay engaged.
I mean, I think, you know, one thing that I'm as also as an elected official, I mean, as you were talking, I had a lot of thoughts, but I mean, one is like, I found that like, the power of even one person showing up at a meeting and speaking about something, it really actually helps me, because when I bring something up, like I'm on my borough council, like a city council, when I bring something up, sometimes it's easy for people to just be like, well, that's just, you know, Jordy's like banging the drum about whatever. Even one person helps me, right? So even, you know, that's something that I feel like, and actually some people talk about co-governance, and it's something I try and do, and I'm sure I could do a lot better. But instead of this idea that like outside citizens are going to push on the government, kind of a lobbyist advocacy model, I'm like, come to me before you go to the meeting, and I will tell you which things to talk about and which levers, right? Like, I want to bring you into the governance process. And I see a lot of head nodding. Do you want to
add? Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm nodding my head because our city council actually just amended to offer the public comment at the beginning.
Oh, thank God.
So that they can, right, they can speak about the issues, you know, that limited courtesy of the floor, so they can speak on the agenda items before they're voted on. And that, I think that goes right to your point, Jordy, is that if you have the public, you know, discussing the agenda items after they're already voted on, that's sort of backwards. And so, you know, even if it's one person, because people say all the time, right, I'm just one person, you know, what's it matter? You guys going to do what you're going to do? And I'm like, no, every voice does matter. And even if it's only one voice, and whether you agree with me or not, like, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your perspective. And we'll take that into consideration. And so, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you is that in that, you know, that one voice and having people show up at the meeting. And, you know, I'm sure it's the same in your borough council, unless there's a hot button, you know, the budget, or, you know, it's, you know, historically low attendance, and trying to get people back engaged in that process. And hey, if we only start with a few people, that's fine. But let's start to have some, you know, hey, we're putting, you know, a lot of folks right now in Williamsport, there, you know, when we did the survey, recreation was a big rescue plan for our rescue plan money. People like, listen, your parks, we want to see recreation. And at our last meeting, this past Monday, I believe it was, it's all running together, but we had some of our local Little League parents and volunteers showed up, and their voices were heard, and they spoke at the meeting. And, you know, that council and administration, obviously we take that into consideration. And then, you know, as we're laying out projects and things. So absolutely, I would say yes.
Right.
You know, whatever the issue is, bring, you know, come have your, you know, talk to us, because that's how, you know, at the end of the day, we're here, we all live in a community together, and, you know, we want to get some good things done. And we don't, you know, it shouldn't just be what, you know, the seven council members and myself think. We need to hear, you know, that's why we do the surveys. That's why we do the outreach to see what people, what We had $25.5 million for rescue plan money. That's obviously a significant amount for Williamsport, and that can be transformational. And we want to hear. We did the survey, but we still stay engaged. Even at you fill out the survey, still stay engaged. We want to see, you know, as with these projects start to move forward, we want to hear your voice.
Right. I know you want to get to the infrastructure, and actually that was on our agenda. But I just want to pitch it back to KJ. But maybe this will help KJ. Like, I mean, KJ and I met and became friends because in the summer of 2020 with the Black Lives Matter moment, whatever people want to call it, the uprising, and something I'm aware of. And I feel very acutely is like there's a rhythm and there's a rhythm and a hunger around justice issues, and it's very real, you know. And then having been on the inside of government, it takes a lot of patience. It's like a different game, you know. One is sprinting, and one isn't even a marathon. The other is like building a house, you know. So there's a friction there.
It's like building Rome.
Yeah, exactly. So, KJ, I don't know if you want to jump in here, but I just wonder, if you have any thoughts, or like, how do you, as an elected official, how do you try and like manage that tension? KJ, do you want
to? And you do have to balance it where, like you said, this is why you have to stay engaged in the political process, because if you want to see new legislation enacted or some positive reforms made, well, your folks in Harrisburg and D.C. That's who, and all of us, we can do obviously legislation on a local level, but our council can on an executive branch side. But yeah, I mean, that's why the political process is so important. And it's stamina as well, because this is, it's drained. And, Jordy, you're elected, and KJ is obviously becoming more involved with the process. But, it's tiring. I've had people reach out to me and say, Derek, I'm exhausted. Like, this is, because you have to, you do have to do some lobbying, and you have to talk to folks, and you have to stay engaged. And it's not like you're going to show up to one city council meeting or one borough council meeting like, oh, great, okay, we've got everything done in one meeting. I mean, this is a process. I think we've made a lot of good progress here in Williamsport. Even prior to 2020, we were already had a lot of stuff in the works. KJ and I have spoken about this before. But we had, so our police was already going through the accreditation process. Our fire department was going through the accreditation process. We are looking at a behavioral health, mental health, critical intervention team program here in Williamsport. That's going to be a hybrid mix. We've started the initial planning steps of that. We're applying for a grant for that, where you have, fire, police, and all of our firefighters are EMTs as well. So we have a little advantage there too. UPMC, Guy Skarin have signed, both of them have signed on to help because, I think another thing that came out of 2020, and maybe, there were, various positive things came out, but definitely positive things. We're talking more about our mental health, our behavioral health, and, what that looks like and taking care of ourselves, because, if your cup is empty, you can't pour into somebody else's cup. So, there's a lot of things that we already had in, and I know, when I was talking to KJ, we were sort of ahead of, some of the surrounding, but we're also the largest, clearly large municipality in the area. And so it's, we should have taken a big on that. And I think we have, and we're doing a good job. But there's, as you said, Jordy, it takes a lot of time. There's always work to be done. It's not like we're going to reach a point where we say, okay, we're done here. Everything is done. You can always get better. You can always improve. And there's always work to be done. But I think, we have a very good foundation laid here, and we'll continue to make some things happen. So sorry, KJ, I didn't mean to
rant. No, you're okay. You're all good. Saying that, obviously throughout the country, public trust in the police is something that in bigger cities, even smaller cities like Williamsport, isn't something the public doesn't always have as much trust as we wish that we did. What do you think the public can do, along with the police department, along with yourself, elected officials can do to really show the public that, you can trust in your police department when issues that we've seen arise across the country, even in Williamsport, happen?
Sure. Yeah. So, again, I think this is a process, and what we've done here, we've started to look at ways where, it's a two-way street where we can engage the community with our officers, as well as our public safety and even our fire department, our public safety across the board, because even, we usually think of public safety, we think of police, but, you know, our codes officers, you know, sometimes those show up to do a codes violation and they take a lot of heat. And so it's really how, you know, across the board, how we interact with the public and how the public interacts with us. And there's got to be trust, you know, again, like I'll say codes, because a lot of times we don't, that doesn't really ever, I don't know how about down where you are, Jordy, but a lot of time you don't think about codes officers being, you know, part of the public safety equation, in the generally speaking. But if they show up and it's like the public or the community doesn't understand, hey, we're really just trying to work on, you know, overall our city and how it looks and everything, it all plays together into the equation. So I think, you know, I've had some college, you know, right now we actually have one of our local college students doing her senior honors project on community relations and public safety relations. And so we're always looking at ways that we can improve and do what we do better around public safety. And so, you know, we have a great group here in Williamsport, but like I said, it's not like we're not going to get to a point where we say, okay, everything's done here. We're good. This is perfect. It's never going to be perfect, obviously, but we strive to do the best. And I can't speak for other cities around the country, but I think what we're doing here in Williamsport, we're doing some good things. We'll continue to improve upon them and just continue to get better. You know, I think, we're exploring some community policing models. We're also looking at, like I said, that behavioral health, mental health, critical intervention team, to look at ways that we can really, if someone's experienced a behavioral health or mental health, you know, get them the resources and the assistance they need on the front end, instead of, you know, sort of how it's traditionally been. I was on a care team at the high school and I was a teacher as well. It's, you know, something happens and it's like 3 months or 6 months down the road, we finally get an evaluation. We're trying to front load that. Let's get them evaluated up front so that way we can get the resources they need to become, you know, productive member of society and make sure that they, it's addressed.
Of course. So obviously in this day and age in technology, everybody's got a cell phone, right? You can't do anything at all without it being recorded. And that's obviously something you have to deal with. Right. We all have to deal with. As time has gone on throughout your two years, there has been, you know, some videos that have gone viral of some things that the police have done, and stuff that's made it some waves on the internet. Do you have any comments on those things, or is there a way that, you know, we can do better in those things besides just having to just do better?
I mean, again, I'll say, you know, it's a matter of just making sure across the public safety spectrum that, you know, we're handling each situation professionally and appropriately. We will continue to improve upon those. And, you know, it is that balance where you still have to, like, obviously we need public safety, clearly, and maintaining professional interactions in those relationships. And just, you know, continue to learn and do things the best that we can. You don't want to, you know, I was with some mayor colleagues around the state, and we talk about this obviously, and how do you have that balance? Because, you know, if you have a whole bunch of crime in your municipality, people aren't going to want to live there, right? So you have to have this balance of, where people can feel safe, but also making sure that you're handling the situations appropriately and professionally. So,
yeah, no, of course, I definitely get it. I definitely do understand that for sure. You definitely stepped into an odd position when you took office. You've had to deal with some issues, and you inherited some issues with a lack of trust already. That was something that you kind of stepped into. How do you deal with that? I mean, it's something you inherited. You honestly done a really good job with it and taking it all in the chest. How do you deal with just inheriting that, something that fell upon you?
You know, and I think that happens in any elected office. You inherit sort of what your predecessors were doing, whether that's good or bad, right? So, you know, some people inherit things and things are going really well, but you still want to make, you know, you still want to put your own stamp on it, so to speak. And sometimes you inherit a situation where it's not so good. And, you know, when you sport, it was a little bit of both. There were some good things that were happening, and then there were some things that needed improved upon. You know, City Hall right now is a big issue that was left to me. That's yep. It's literally falling apart. And that can was kicked down the road for many, 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 many years, longer than, you know, even when I've been alive. And so I finally put my foot down and said, we need to make we have to do something here. You know, we need to make a decision. And when it started to leak all over the place, I called council president at the time and said, you know, I'm not kicking this can down the road. You know, when you get into elected office or any leadership role, it's not always peaches and cream. You have to be able to have hard conversations. You have to be able to make difficult decisions. And that's across the board. And City Hall is one of those things where, you know, there's going to be some community members that want to see one thing done with it. And there's going to be some other community members that want to see something else done with it. At the end of the day, you know, as elected officials, we're charged with that task to look into all the various options and make the, you know, in the case of City Hall, the most fiscally responsible option, which, and I'll be, I'm on the record saying this, is that at this point, I think we need to sell it and get rid of it, get into the hands of a private developer, a private individual that will restore it to its glory. But it's an 1893 building. It's old.
Yeah.
It hasn't been maintained over the years. It, you know, the federal government gave it to us back, you know, 1970 or whenever that was. So, and it wasn't maintained. It was, so it's time. You know,
I was about to cut this because I know you wanted to talk some about rescue plan, infrastructure, parks. Do you want to sort of get, you know, where that is and why you're excited about it?
Sure. Yeah, we have a lot going on. Like I said earlier, I mean, our $25.5 million of rescue plan dollars.
That's just real quick sort of reference. Like, what's the size of the city budget?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's essentially 1 year's budget for us.
Wow. Our
budget is, yeah, 27, 28 million, give or take. So basically we got a 3 year's budget with our rescue plan dollars. And we, you know, we have an outline. We're not going to nickel and dime it away. It is going to be, you know, we put out a survey to folks and you're going to see, you know, some transformational projects across the city. And, you know, that's community economic development. So we, I introduced legislation to city council that they approved in December. So we now have a land bank authority in the city of Williamsport, and we granted.
Wow. So that's cool. I'd love to hear more about that. Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited about blight remediation. I expanded our blighted property review board by two individuals. So now what we did with the land bank authority, we granted those powers to the RDA, which is the state legislature that set it up that you're able to do that. So we already have an RDA in place. So now they have land bank powers as well, which allows us to obviously another tool in our tool belt to address the blight remediation, which again plays back into the public safety, right? So this mm-hmm. is all tied together, you know, that broken window syndrome and all of that. So, you know, if you get the areas, you know, neighborhoods, people start to feel good about where they live, your codes calls go down, your fire calls, your police calls, and, you know, it's all interrelated. So you really can't, you have to be able to look at this comprehensively, and you can't really, you have to be able to see the forest through the trees, right?
So, well, and I think that ties to something that maybe you touched on before we started, but, you know, recreation, I had this insight a couple of years ago that, like we have a rec authority and I almost want to rename it like the wellness authority or something like that, because like, I feel like the word in our culture can make it sound like it's just fun or it's trivial, but it's literally recreate, right? Like if you don't have parks and like wellness and all of that, and I know KJ is really into sports, it's literally about people being able to sort of mind, body and soul recreate who they are. And it's not peripheral. It should be really central to what we expect from our municipal government. But, you know, so do you want to say anything about parks? And we've got one last question. If we can
speak. Yeah, sure. Our parks, we, you know, we were talking before the show, we're working with DCNR, and I'm actually headed to a DCNR meeting right after this to discuss our parks and recreation open space comp plan. It needs updated. So we're going to go through that planning process this year, apply for a planning grant. Hopefully we get it. If we don't, we're still going to update our comprehensive plan for all the parks across the city. And simultaneously working with DCNR, we're going to start to do a few projects that we already know about and update our green infrastructure plan as well for our open spaces and recreation spaces. We're looking at a splash park out on East End. Memorial Pool is going to be open for the 2022 season. I know a lot of folks were upset last year, but it was leaking, and I absolutely had to fix that. And so we fixed all the leaks. City Council approved a new pool liner. It's going to be new electricity that's going to City Council next week. So a lot of things happening across the city. Lowe's Park is going to get some upgrades. They're getting a brand new basketball court. They're getting ADA upgrades, ADA play equipment, new lighting. So that's exciting. So we have a lot of really exciting recreational things.
I just want to be mindful of time because I know you said you have to go, but I just want to highlight like the pool is really interesting because pools right now are dying because they tend to lose money. They just do. But there's a whole historic piece. I don't know about Williamsport, but in Philly and around the country for African Americans, you know, public pools was a major site in the 50s from what I've seen about, you know, white people being so fearful. And it was a real, you know, sort of site of conflict about that. And obviously in terms of equity, super important. And here's the African-American mayor of Williamsport opening a new pool and fixing an old pool. I mean, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. We're excited. And the splash park that'll be free of charge. You're just able to go out into the park and run around in the water and your kids. So that, you know,
that's awesome.
I mean, when I was a kid, it was, you know, we had a sprinkler, but in a city like Williamsport, you want
and rehabbing our old pool. And like you said, pools are a money pit. They're very, very expensive, but across the board, people, you know, they like the pool. They're invested in it and they want to see the community pool. So we'll keep it going as long as we financially can. But it's quite costly.
So if we can get you for 30 seconds, we like to do a little bit of like sort of, you know, light touch. So this is a question we've been asking people recently. Everybody's got like a junk drawer, everything drawer, ketchup packet drawer, whatever you call it. Right. So do you have one in your house?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so A, what do you call it? B, what's in it that everybody should have in theirs? And what's in yours that you should get rid of?
I call it the junk drawer.
Okay.
What's in it that everybody should have? I would say batteries. I have three kids, and I feel like we always need batteries. AA, AAA. So we have in ours, that's not junk, but it's in our junk drawer.
Yeah.
We keep a fully stacked set of batteries.
Right.
A whole, contraption of them. It's
right. Right. And what have you got that's taking up space?
What's in there that shouldn't be in there?
I mean, I know I've got enough twisty ties for three apocalypses.
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep
in ours. It's just that I need that should come out of there. It's just like the screwdrivers and stuff. I need to just put them back in the toolbox. I don't know why there's just a whole bunch of screwdrivers in the junk drawer for no reason.
That's funny. My answer for what everyone should have is a screwdriver because I hate going down to the basement to get a screwdriver. But anyway.
Right. So I keep one in there, but like right now there's six. So it's just getting cluttered up for no reason.
All right. KJ, any last words?
No, it was nice to have you, Mayor Slaughter. Good to talk to you again, and we will be in touch soon for sure.
Sure, yeah. Good to see you all. Jordy, thank you. KJ, absolutely.
Thank you.
And office, reach out. We'll talk
soon. We'll let you know and you know, whatever you want to do to let people know because, you know, the more people can hear your story.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Trouble I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Mildew, Rockview, Waterloo, Lackawanna, Fairview, Bellevue, Sweet Root, Susquehanna, Lewisburg, Stroudsburg, Illiesburg, Orbisonia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Willisburg, Robsonia, Mountaintop, Glen Rock, Flat Rock, Sunbury, St. Mary, Schick, Shanny, Big Shanny, I'm a Danny. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valleys fair, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Belfont, Southmont, Westmont, Womelsdorf, Nordmont, Dormont, Lebanon, Hummelsdorf, Cedar Springs, Bowling Springs, Chess Springs, Centerbridge, Centersport, Leesport, Williamsport, Brackenridge, Lumber City, Central City, Lake City, Clearfield, Westfield, Wentfield, Richfield, big deal. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the valley fair, man. I be the mountain air, man. Travel ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Glen, Wilpen, Tunnelton, Conestoga, Bakerton, Curry Run, Smoke Run, Sanatoga, Slickville, Smithville, Flicksville, Maxtoney, Youngwood, Edgewood, Hopwood, Punxsutawney, Whitehall, Blue Ball, Center Hall, North Apollo, Delano, Renovo, Laredo, let's go. I've been everywhere, man. I've
I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the valley, spare man. I breathe the